seated. On behalf of all the faculty and staff, I welcome you to this 66th annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a graduate division of Eastern Mennonite University. We gather to recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of these graduates and the support of many family members. This is an all-university commencement weekend, and we invite you to participate in as many activities as possible. It's with great joy that we share this celebration event in a commencement service of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Today, we honor 42 individuals who are graduating or receiving certificates and are committing themselves to the knowledge that God's hand is leading them and holding them fast. Our prayer for them is that they will always experience the anointing of God's calling upon their lives, and we send them to bring good news. This afternoon, we offer thanks to God for these graduates and for their future ministries, and we're also grateful for the support of faculty and family members, and for the support of many contributors who believe in theological education. Dr. Michael A. King, Dean of the Seminary, will offer the invocation, after which a group of students listed at the bottom of the program will lead us in congregational singing. Following the hymns, the service will proceed as printed in your program without further announcement. Dr. King.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, today we gather in your loving presence. We acknowledge you as the creator and sustainer of all that lives and breathes, and as the one within whom we move and have our beings. We thank you for the marvelous works, the heights and depths and mysteries through which we sense and glimpse you within and among and around us. You are the one who calls us by name and orders our steps, even at times we're not aware of or may actively doubt it. You have called us not to forget your decrees, to love you with our entire beings. Today we celebrate your providential guidance of these graduates and each one of us. We acknowledge you as our Redeemer and Lord, whose image we recognize in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who set up his tent among us, through whom living is Christ and dying is gain. We seek to follow you as lifelong learners under the reign of God. We experience you as the Holy Spirit, whose still small voice guides us and whose winds at our backs empower us to discern and live out what you are calling us to be and to do for such a time as this. We invite your ongoing transforming presence and action in our lives as we celebrate with these graduates and their loved ones. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Please take your blue worship book and open to number 48. Number 48. Let's stand, please. verse 7. Now turn to 355. 355.
We'll be reading from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him.
We're delighted that Dr. L. Gregory Jones has agreed to be our commencement speaker for this number 66 commencement here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. He reports that after having arrived here some decades ago for a speaking assignment by flying to Baltimore and then to Weir's Cave and then driving here, he found it delightfully efficient to simply drive the 200 some miles from Duke. So we're pleased to have you here in efficient form, Greg. Greg is a leader and strategist whose creative engagement has helped institutions across the world to create transformational resource models. Greg's global imagination has guided business, education, and religious leaders in Africa, Asia, Europe, and the United States. Greg has a particular gift for incubating talent, ideas, and networks. Passionate about reshaping cultures within and across organizations, Greg has coined and is writing a book about the term traditioned innovation to capture how he reframes complex challenges to seize significant opportunities. Greg has used these gifts in many roles, most recently as Duke University's Vice President and Vice Provost for Global Strategy and Programs, and prior to that as Dean of Duke's Divinity School, where he led the institution to a significant expansion of resources, networks, and impact. A gifted speaker, noted writer, and trusted advisor, Greg helps leaders imagine new possibilities and shape cultures for organizational success. Greg currently serves as Professor of Theology and Christian Ministry at Duke Divinity. He is Senior Strategist both for Leadership Education at Duke and for the Fuqua Coach K Center on Leadership and Ethics. He is Executive Director of a Foundation for Theological Education. Greg is author or editor of 16 books, including the co-authored Forgiving As We've Been Forgiven, Community Practices for Making Peace with Celestine Musekura. He is editor-at-large for Christian Century magazine. He is married to the Reverend Susan Pendleton Jones. I believe she's here, but I haven't had the privilege to meet her yet, Associate Dean for United Methodist Initiatives and Ministerial Formation at Duke Divinity. They are parents of 3 children. Blessings as you speak, Greg, and we very much look forward to what you have to share with us.
Thank you, Dean King. It is a great honor and privilege to be here with you, to be back on Eastern Mennonites campus on such an august occasion. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, descend your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here. Speak through me, if necessary, in spite of me and always beyond me, that your word might be heard by your people this day. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. For such a time as this, President Schwarzenegger, Dean King, faculty, staff, friends, family gathered here, and most importantly, distinguished class of 2015, for such a time as this, you've worked, prayed, struggled, imagined, dreamed, and now here you are. What a wonderful day to have friends and family who've also worked and struggled and prayed and dreamed and maybe even wondered whether this day would come. What an exciting day of celebration for such a time as this, to be able to celebrate this important transition and marker of accomplishment. We join with you in celebrating such a wonderful day. And yet, for such a time as this, you're about to graduate in the midst of cultural transitions and upheavals and disruptions that in some ways we haven't seen for decades, in other ways we haven't seen for a couple of centuries, and in some other ways perhaps half a millennium or more. You're graduating into a world that is on the very beginning cusp of a digital revolution, where now so much is on the web and online, and people's experiences and work and the ways they relate and the ways we engage in social media. It's a different world. It's a world that's no longer just global, it's multinodal. It's got so much ethnicity being brought into this country and around the world, but it can't be described simply as global, because that makes it sound like we're all one humanity, when what's also emerging is long-standing prejudices and hostilities resurfacing under new guises, so that it's emerging into a conflicted time. Uncertainty, whether it's interreligious, Christians and Jews and Muslims and Hindus and secularists, or whether it's ethnic and old tribal conflicts resurfacing for such a time as this. And as you enter into ministry and continue the ministries in which you've already been embarked, it's a chime of changing patterns of denominations and people no longer understanding themselves in the ways they were raised, and shifting and fights and polarization and all kinds of new alignments, different roles for laity in relation to clergy. For such a time as this, it's beginning to sound a little less celebratory, a little more anxiety-inducing, growing inequality between rich and poor, migration from rural areas into cities, stress on institutions, the kinds of things that keeps deans and presidents up at night, whether the models of higher education and schools and hospitals are sustainable for the 21st, for such a time as this? Maybe I should be talking to you apart from your families and friends who've done so much to bring you here and are so excited about your vocations and what this education has been worth, because it's challenging what you're going to be going forth from here to. Enjoy the celebration today, we might say, because the challenges are going to be what you're going to encounter. For such a time as this. I suspect when you first started imagining what a commencement speaker might do on this day, you didn't imagine the book of Esther as probably the text that might be the reference point. I suspect, although I don't know for sure, it probably didn't emerge as your favorite during this time of the intro to Bible courses, Old Testament and New Testament, or to do a senior exegesis course or paper on. The book of Esther is an odd book. It's the only book of the Bible where God isn't mentioned. So here we gather for commencement, for such a time as this. We're going to talk about Esther, a beauty, a queen, in a book that doesn't talk about God. What's he up to after all? Well, amidst all the changes and challenges of the culture, we also find ourselves in a time when Christian witness and Christian ministry is more complicated than ever before. Those of you who come out of the Anabaptist tradition have known for a longer time than the rest of us the problems of assuming establishment rule and those kinds of assumptions. But everybody's now aware that being Christian is a more complicated enterprise for people in the U.S., and especially for brothers and sisters around the world. We live in a time where there are people who are encountering life not unlike what Mordecai and Esther and the Jews in exile were encountering. What it means to have to suffer at the hands of idiotic, if not corrupt, rulers like King Xerxes, also known as Ahasuerus. Here we are in Esther, in a time that is unsettled, in a time that's risky, in a time that's complicated, a time not unlike that which you're going out to in ministry. And in the passage which Lonnie read just a few moments ago, Mordecai has come to Esther. You see, Esther's already found a way to survive. She would have graduated quickly in any school of political savvy. She'd managed to find herself in the court of the king. She was there and then had become the queen. She'd preserved herself and she was safe. Until her cousin, Mordecai, the one who had raised her out of his own stupidity and arrogance, so offended the ruler that all the Jews were going to be put to death. What do you do now? And so, in the passage that we came to, Mordecai sends a message to Esther and says, essentially, help. Only you can intervene. And she says, look, I can't take a risk like that. You have to be invited by the king, and I haven't been invited. Mordecai says, you've got to come. You've got to go see him. And finally, Esther recognizes what's at stake. Mordecai says to her, perhaps you've had royal dignity for such a time as this. It's a great day of celebration. The challenges of the times we live in are serious and daunting, and yet, you've been called into various forms of ministry for such a time as this. It's sobering and also encouraging to realize that in Esther's case, the one who taps her on the shoulder isn't a virtuous saint. Mordecai, a cunning, bumbling relative. But he taps her on the shoulder and he says, for such a time as this, you are called to something far greater than you ever imagined, far more important, not just for yourself, but for all God's people to bear witness. There'll be a cost. As Esther says, if I perish, I perish. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls someone, he bids them come and die. There will be challenges and cost. But for such a time as this is to say that God raises up people like you, equips, forms, trains through programs like the ones you've been in here at Eastern Mennonite in order to do things that you could never have imagined you would have done. Bonhoeffer may have said, when Christ calls someone, he bids them come and die. Esther says, if I perish, I perish. But the young Episcopal priest in Gail Godwin's novel Evensong was talking to an older priest about calling and responsibility, and he says to her, something's your vocation if it keeps making more of you. Your time here at Eastern Mennonite has been a time to flourish, to grow, to blossom, to keep being made more of. And the invitation that Mordecai gives to Esther is an invitation to keep being made more of, to take risks, because you've been called into forms of lay or ordained ministry for such a time as this, a time of chaos, a time of disruption, a time of turmoil, a time of uncertainty, a time when God will make more of you if you're willing to allow God to work in and through you to do so. Well, how might that happen? You've been nurtured and formed in various ways through your time here and your studies at Eastern Mennonite. I want to lift up several practices that I hope will mark your transition from this place and continue to guide and form you as you go forth from this place. I suspect since we're talking about Esther, I have to tell you the first practice ought to be fasting. It is, after all, what Esther does. And let that be a marker for all the kinds of spiritual disciplines that too often we Protestants have wanted to not have to worry about because we called them Catholic. spiritual disciplines, like fasting, like prayer, that nurture that attentiveness, that focus us on God, that call us to repentance, that help to prune us so that we might flourish in relationship to God. So spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, what we Wesleyans call searching the Scriptures. You've studied them, you've been formed in them, you've learned about them in history and theology and pastoral care and preaching. Scripture shapes and forms who you are as you come to this day of graduation. But it's also an occupational hazard that those of us entrusted to teach and preach the Scriptures often then use them for professional purposes and don't spend as much time being formed by them in study and prayer and reflection. So spiritual disciplines and practices are crucial to being prepared for such a time as this. So also the practice of hospitality, giving and receiving hospitality, creating room and generosity. This time when so many are polarized, where the divisions are getting worse economically, socially, politically, religiously, within denominations, across denominations, a spirit of hospitality, of sitting around table, of listening and sharing, of building bridges. Hospitality creates conditions for generosity. We tend to turn generosity into something that's only about tithing, and there'll be plenty of opportunities to worry and to speak and to preach about the importance of generosity financially. But at its heart, in Paul's letter to the Galatians and talking about the fruit of the Spirit, generosity isn't only about what we do with our pocketbooks, it's also what we do with our calendars. It's what we do with our hearts and minds. A willingness to be open, to listen, to learn, to engage widely with people who are different from us. The most important breakthroughs come when we engage people who are different in a variety of ways, including those who think differently. One time I was asked, after I'd been traveling in Brazil and India and China and the Middle East, and I'd been dealing with different languages, I'd had Portuguese and Chinese and Hindi and Arabic, and somebody said, "What's the hardest language you had to translate?" I said, "That's easy, engineering." I had translators who could help me with the Chinese, the Hindi, the Arabic, the Portuguese. But people who think differently than I do, that was challenging to figure out how to translate. A generosity, a hospitality. Scripture begins with a meal, Adam and Eve with an apple. It ends with a vision of a heavenly banquet. And at key points in Jesus' ministry, it's about what happens at table. Practice of giving and receiving hospitality and the cultivation of generosity. Let that mark your ministry for such a time as this. And then, how could I not highlight the significance of bridge building and peacemaking as a practice? One of the hallmarks of the Anabaptist tradition that's a gift to the entire Christian community and so urgently needed in the times in which we live. To be willing to love enemies, not in the abstract, but in the concrete. One wag said that the reason Jesus tells us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies is because they're so often the same people. In Wendell Berry's novel, Jaber Crow, Jaber's a farmer in rural Kentucky. He also cuts hair to help make ends meet. He's the town's barber. There was a man named Troy that Jaber didn't like very well, partly because Troy was an agribusinessman that was undermining the viability of family farms, and also because Troy had married the girl that Jaber'd been sweet on but couldn't ever get up the courage to ask out. So Jaber didn't like Troy much at all, but you know, it being a small town in Kentucky, Troy still had to get his hair cut by Jaber. was the 1960s, the year of civil rights, the era of Vietnam War protests, and Troy was sitting in the barber's chair. Men were lined up along the windowsill, kind of like Mayberry RFD. Jaber's cutting Troy's hair. And Troy just all of a sudden blurts out, "Well, if you ask me, they ought to line up the commies on one side, the Vietnam protesters on the other side, let them start shooting at each other. The more the die, the better." There was an awkward, long silence. And then Jaber said, "Bless those who hate you, pray for those who persecute you, love your enemies." Troy said, "Where'd that come from?" Jaber calmly says, "Jesus." Troy said, "Oh." And then Jaber reflects, "It would have been a great moment in the history of Christianity, except I didn't love Troy." It's easy to talk about peacemaking in the abstract. It's easy to talk about building bridges and reconciliation in the abstract. It's quite another thing when it involves Troy. When Elias Shakur, the Palestinian-Israeli priest, arrived at his first parish in Ibilin, he came with these grand ideas that he'd learned in seminary about the gospel of reconciliation and 2 Corinthians 5, and he was so excited, and so he preached his first sermon on the importance of reconciling Palestinians and Israelis. That night, there was a note tapped to the door of his parsonage, and it said, "Forget about Palestinians and Israelis. See what you can do with this congregation first." It'll be challenging. And yet, if you're willing to be made more of by God in Christ, if you understand what it means to be called for such a time as this, then you'll be about that sense of peacemaking and bridge building. Costly as it may be, life-giving as I hope it will also be. All of these practices are part of what will nurture and sustain you. Your time here at Eastern Mennonite with the faculty, the staff, your fellow classmates, and the broader community, and the work you've done, and the ministry you've been engaged in, the congregations you've been a part of or perhaps leading, all of that have been forms of rehearsal as you embark now in a new kind of stage going forth from this place. Because we live in times like these, you'll need to be improvisational. And all the rehearsal, all the learning and study and preparation and exams and papers and discussions and all of that have been forms to prepare you for such a time as this. It's a great and wonderful day, a day to mark and celebrate, and to go forth from this place not with anxiety but with joy. A number of years ago, there was a football coach. He may still be coaching there, but he was coaching Baltimore. He'd been an all-pro football player named Joe Ehrman. Then he became a minister, and then he was ministering to inner-city kids in Baltimore while also coaching football. He had an unusual approach to coaching football. And so one day, a Washington Post reporter named Jeffrey Marks went up to try to figure out what was going on. You see, when he got to the practice, Joe Ehrman would say to all the players, "What's our job as coaches?" And the players would all recite back, "To love us." And then he'd say, "And what's your job as players?" And they'd say, "To love each other." Now, this doesn't sound like a high school football team. And then you'd figure, well, it has to be a kind of Bad News Bears football team that was just so bad that they figured they'd focus on love to try to make up for the fact that they were getting slaughtered. But rather, they were a top 10 high school football team who did exceedingly well on a regular basis. And still, Ehrman said they were focused around what it meant to be good people. One summer, one of the mothers of one of the players, came up to Coach Ermont and she said, "How do you think the boys are going to do?" Asking, of course, about what the coach thought their win-loss record and their ranking would likely be. Coach Ermont looked at her and said, "I don't believe we'll know for 10 years. He wasn't focused on wins and losses. He was focused on preparing people of character, people to be leaders, to make a difference in their lives. We congratulate you this day of graduation. And yet the real test of whether you have learned what you needed to learn, whether the faculty have taught what you needed to have taught, whether you've been formed and developed the skills that are needed, we won't really know for 10 years. And yet, we celebrate with you in the confidence that all the soil has been tilled to enable you to flourish, to make a difference, to work over these next 10 years and 20, perhaps 30 and 40 and 50. Who knows how long it will be? But God has called you for such a time as this. Let us be faithful this day and all our days."
Thank you, Dr. Jones. If you would turn in your hymnal, the worship book, to number 493, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say," and please stand if you are able.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the class of 2015, I would like to express our deep appreciation for the contribution that many people have made to our lives, to our families and friends, to faculty, staff, seminary community, seminary supporters, and our faith communities. You have all enabled us to respond to God's calling, and for that we are deeply grateful. You have supported, inspired, mentored, nurtured, suffered, and celebrated along with us in so many meaningful ways that we cannot thank you enough. Quiero agradecer a todas nuestras familias, a nuestros amigos, a nuestras iglesias, a nuestras comunidades por el apoyo inmenso al caminar con nosotros en esta respuesta al llamado de Dios a nuestras vidas. Our class is a unique array of giftedness and diversity, a rich variety of individuals with great talents, sensibilities, creativity, and potential, who are ready to join into God's work in the wider scope of the Missio Dei. We are all different and unique, and yet we all share a deep desire, a desire for God. But as talented, as gifted as this class might be, we see ourselves as ordinary people with an extraordinary Savior. We chose as our class theme, Call and Responsibility, from Deuteronomy 8, 11, 17, and 18, because it reflects our present desire to live in rightly into the blessings of God's gifts and mercy, with an expansive future, with the challenge not to forget, an embodied and spacious remembering, with rhythm and rule practices that trained us for responsibility and accountability. Call and responsibility reflect many of our hopes and concerns. We are called people. God called us and addressed us as individuals who are unique, significant, and free to respond. The writer Og Guinness says that in a world where there is too much to live with and too little to live for, it's a gift to celebrate that we have too much to live for, because we have decided to live for Him, the caller, the one who called us. God's call resonates in us in depths no other call can reach, drawing us on and out and up to heights no other call can scale or see. As a class, we understand that we are not primarily called to do something or to go somewhere, but we are called to someone, to God, our caller. So we can only respond to our calling in an intimate partnership with the caller, the triune God. Responsibility is closely tied with calling because, as Guinness says, we are responsible or response-able when we are able to respond. There's no calling without responsibility. And as Nietzsche argued, we only have two choices, obey ourselves or be commanded. We understand that only through responsibility to the caller, we might become what we are not yet. Responsibility brings the hope to find our true identity. Therefore, our responsibility as well is primarily not responding to anyone or to anything, but to someone, to God Himself. Only after this we can be responsible to one another. We understand that we are not just responsible for, but we are responsible to. We are not only responsible for our communities, for our bodies, for our future, for our planet, we need to remember to whom we are responsible to. So our calling and responsibility is by Him, through Him, and for Him. Today, as we join the corporate calling of the Church of God, we are called and challenged to be responsible. As someone said, we are called to minister not to the church that was, but to minister to the church that will be. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Lisette. Thank you, seminary graduates, for your gifts of music. Thank you, Dr. Jones. I must say, I didn't quite resonate with that thought on deans and presidents lying awake at night, but except for that, very much appreciated the accurate delineation of the times we're in and the practices needed. Thank you so much. And again, thank you, Lisette, for your stirring words on behalf of the graduating class of 2015 and your thoughts on call and responsibility. Thank you also for the many ways you've exercised leadership within the seminary community and beyond during your years here. I also want to thank those of you who served along with Lisette as class officers, Matthew Booker, Lori Friesen, Melissa Fretwell. The four of you have served your class well indeed. Thanks also are owed to 2015 graduate Catherine Fenton for her fine artwork in the front of our commencement booklet. And we want to thank all of you as an entire senior class for your class gift of the framed artwork created by 2015 graduate Luis Martinez for seminary classrooms. For all of you as graduates, this moment represents a special achievement that points to personal discipline, perseverance, hard work, and also, often enough, learning that amid and sometimes even especially within wounds or failure, God's strength can flourish within you. Now is a time to celebrate that achievement. Even as Lisette has reminded us of the contributions that other individuals have made to your lives, we also thank God, as she likewise underscored, for the fact that the grace given to each of you is what has brought you this far. It is indeed through God's grace, not simply your own efforts, that you have reached this point in your studies and your ability to minister and serve even in times like these. By the grace of God, as well as exceptional effort, some of you have done outstanding scholarly work. I'd note that I've long been moved by the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and the many texts in which Jesus stresses that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I do believe we need to be careful to celebrate those among us who have known poverty of soul or body, brokenness of mind or spirit, failure, and loss. We easily turn awards into the status markers the Beatitudes subvert. Yet Jesus does also call forth from his disciples new life, an accomplishment from failure, as when he so memorably asks Peter three times whether Peter loves him, then sends Peter forth to feed his sheep. So we do want to honor the ways God calls forth multiple gifts from among us, and the faculty have honored 10 of you for work in various fields of study. As recognition for this distinction, each of you will receive a certificate of award along with your diploma this afternoon. A number of you have had the misfortune of experiencing me charging you $500 for signing things in recent days as a fundraising effort. Those charges are canceled and do not apply to these certificates. You also join other graduates in receiving from the publisher, Herald Press, a copy of the New Galatians Commentary by our esteemed professor and dean, Emeritus George R. Brunk III. I invite each of you to stand when I call your name. Please remain standing until all names are announced. I suggest holding applause until everyone is recognized. From among those of you earning the Master of Divinity degree, excellence in your studies of the following: Biblical Studies, Hebrew, Seth Chrisman. Would you please stand? Biblical Studies Greek, Seth Miller. Theological Studies, Lizette Hernandez. Theological Studies, Nick Meyer. Theological Studies, Nathan Greaser. Practical Theology and Peace Building, Matthew Booker. Practical Theology and Leadership, Mike Souter. Pastoral Care, Brad Call. From among those earning the Master of Arts in Religion, excellence in your studies of the following: Biblical Studies, Hebrew, Eric Trinka. From among those earning the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, excellence in your studies of the following: Worship and Congregational Leadership, Misty Winch. We congratulate each of you for your hard work and the ways God has drawn treasures from your studies, passions, and experiences. You may be seated. And now we come to the special moment that many have been anticipating ever since you started your studies, the conferring of your degrees. Upon recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary and upon the approval of the Board of Trustees of Eastern Mennonite University, I present the class of 2015, Dr. Schwarzentruber, for the conferring of their degrees. You'll note in your program booklet that the names of the graduates are listed under various degrees. I'll name each group and will be inviting you to stand when your group is named. 25 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Divinity, a 3-year degree program of preparation for Christian ministry and ongoing studies. Please stand and remain standing. Those of you who have earned an MDiv. I realize it's impossible to believe. 4 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Religion, a 2-year degree program of academic study of theology. Would you please stand? 4 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, a 2-year degree program of study with specialization in a particular area of ministry. Would you please stand? We also have listed 9 individuals who have earned certificates in ministry leadership. The certificates require at least 24 credit hours of graduate study. Although a certificate does not represent the attainment of a degree, it does indicate a significant milestone in ministry preparation. We celebrate the achievement of those who have earned certificates by listing their names in the program booklet and invite those of you who are present to stand. President Schwarzentruber, I am pleased to present the persons who are standing now for the conferring of their respective degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and upon the authority vested in me by the University Board of Trustees, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon you, so presented, the degree of Master of Divinity, and upon you, so presented, the degree of Master of Arts in Religion, and upon you, so presented, the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, with all the rights, honors, and privileges pertaining thereto. We further endorse you for continuing the ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and with encouragement to be in covenant with the community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. You may move your tassels from the right to the left. And you may be seated. And on behalf of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, I wish to recognize those so presented for the intensive study and achievement in completing the requirements of the course prescribed, and therefore award as so presented the certificate in ministry leadership. We further endorse your continuing ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and urge you to covenant with the community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. And you're already seated.
I will read the names of the graduates as they appear in the program. Please hold your applause until all graduates have received their diplomas. With each name called, I will also give a brief description of where and what that individual will be involved in. I invite you to listen and appreciate the rich tapestry of ministry involvements that these graduates are moving into. For the Master of Divinity, Priyanka Bagh. Priyanka is exploring opportunities in children and youth ministry in the mental health field. Tracy Emmett Brown. Tracy will begin a Doctor of Ministry program at Lancaster Theological Seminary and is also exploring a congregational pastoral ministry assignment. Paul A. Brubaker. Paul is anticipating a CPE chaplain residency in the South Central Pennsylvania area, as well as exploring congregational pastoral ministry opportunities. Matthew Leroy Booker. Matthew is excited to begin a pastoral role in Harrisonburg at Emmanuel Mennonite Church. Gwendolyn B. Carr. Gwen will continue as a part-time pastoral candidate at Craigsville Presbyterian Church and explore ministry opportunities with intellectually disabled individuals. Seth Thomas Christman. Seth will serve with Virginia Mennonite Missions in a role supporting congregations developing kids clubs programs, as well as continuing in his ministry with the Walking Roots Band. Chelsea Page Davis. Chelsea will continue in the Master of Arts in Counseling program at EMU. Melissa Irene Fretwell. Melissa will enter a clinical pastoral education residency at the University of Virginia in the fall. Lori Rochelle Friesen. Lori will be exploring local ministry opportunities, hopefully within the international population in Harrisonburg. Pete Jeffrion. Pete will continue as a pastor and on July 1 will begin a new full-time appointment in the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Nathan Greaser. Nathan is working as the director of the Shalom Project, a new service learning program and intentional community for college graduates in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Terry Lee Hendricks. Terry is serving the Shenandoah Valley Charge as a licensed local pastor and working towards ordained elder status in the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Lizette Carcama de Hernandez. Lizette will continue coordinating the Anabaptist Biblical Institute, EBA, which is under the ministry of the Mennonite Hispanic Initiative and Virginia Mennonite Missions. LaDawn P. Nicely. LaDawn is a pastor in the Church of the Brethren and is discerning next steps. Bradley Scott Kolb. Brad will continue working at Grace Mennonite Fellowship in Lacey Springs, Virginia, where he will shift from a part-time youth pastor role to a full-time associate pastor role in June. Audrey Roth Crable. Audrey will continue her advocacy for LGBT children and their parents within the Mennonite Church and beyond, as well as writing, preaching, and speaking toward the vision of a church enriched by diversity, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and enveloped in the grace of God. Benny Crispianto. Benny desires to be a better pastor for his immigrant congregation in Philadelphia, Nations Worship Center. Luis Serrato Martinez. Luis will continue as pastor of EDA, the Iglesia Discipular Anabaptista, as well as exploring deeper ways the artistic talent that God has asked him to share. Robert Michael May. Bob, with an actual seminary degree, will become the most qualified theologian on May Cattle Farms near Burton, Virginia. Gordon Kenyon Merriweather III. Gordon, in tandem with his master's degree in conflict transformation, which he has already received, has been called to work with ministries in crisis within the United Methodist Church. Nicholas S. Meyer. Nick plans to continue in leadership at Early Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and looks forward to getting more involved in several local nonprofits, including Gemeinschaft Home, Collins Center, and Our Community Place. Seth Michael Miller. Seth is currently exploring a congregational pastoral ministry assignment. Glenn William Nofziger II. Glenn is exploring a congregational pastoral ministry assignment. John Michael Souter. Mike will continue in his service as an associate pastor at Grace Covenant Church in Harrisonburg, where he has served since 2003. Francis Darlene Wilkins. Darlene will continue to pursue ordination in the United Methodist Church. She will move from part-time to full-time ministry as a pastor beginning July 1. For the Master of Arts in Religion, Todd Bowman, in absentia, Todd will continue in his role as a Bible teacher at Lancaster Mennonite Middle School. Laura Catherine Fenton, in absentia. Catherine feels that God is calling her to create a space for art and theology to combine and flourish in the Mennonite Church. Anita Laura Fonseca. Anita and her husband Christian will move to Vancouver this summer, where Anita will begin a Master of Theology program at the Vancouver School of Theology with a focus on trauma and resilience in the Old Testament through the theological and neurobiological lenses. Eric Michael Trinka. Eric will begin doctoral work in the fall at the Catholic University of America with a concentration in Hebrew Bible and ancient Near Eastern studies. For the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, Philip Ray Lehman. Phil will continue as Minister of Music and Christian Education at Waynesboro Mennonite Church. Francisco Machado. Francisco is currently associate pastor at Manantial de Vida in Harrisonburg and is anticipating a mission assignment in Madrid, Spain. Leanne Showers. Leanne plans to help lead her current faith communities in breaking the cycle of generational poverty by teaching the adults to work with youth for the spiritual growth and transformation of all. Misty Winch. Misty is currently a full-time pastor at Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. For the Certificate in Ministry Leadership, Carolyn Albright. Carolyn will continue as pastor at Ripple Allentown in Pennsylvania, as well as teach fourth grade in science and social studies in a public school setting. Karen Burke. Karen, in addition to co-pastoring the Antioch United Church of Christ with her husband and working as a nurse, will continue on in the MDiv program with the goal of becoming a chaplain. Darren Bousset. Darren will continue his studies in the Master of Divinity program at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. Marlena Coburn in absentia. Marlena will continue her studies in the Master of Arts in Church Leadership program at EMS. Robert L. Carnegie. Robert will continue as pastor of the Living Light Mennonite Church in Pennsylvania. Sandra M. Landis in absentia. Sandra will continue as prayer minister at Doylestown Mennonite Church, where she leads the prayer ministry and serves in pastoral care. Shankar Rai in absentia. Shankar will continue his studies in the Master of Divinity program at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. Bobby Wiboa. Bobby will continue his studies at Biblical Theological Seminary in the Master of Arts in Ministry program and also continue as worship leader at Philadelphia Praise Center. Timothy L. Worley. Tim has been approved as a licensed local pastor in the Virginia Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church and is projected to serve a church beginning in July. And now is the time to offer your congratulations via applause.
Dr. Mark Wenger, Director of Eastern Mennonite Seminary Lancaster Programs, will lead a litany of commissioning, followed by a hymn. Following the blessing and benediction by Dorothy Jean Weaver, Professor of New Testament, please remain standing for the recessional of the faculty and graduates. All graduates and their families, along with the faculty and staff, are invited to the President's reception this evening between 8:30 and 10 p.m. in the University Commons Mall. As you exit, in case of rain, and I cannot tell whether it's raining, in case of rain, we ask that you proceed quickly to the Campus Center Greeting Hall, which would be in the building to your left, main floor. If it's not raining, we'll just gather outside. Congratulations to all of you again. Dr. Wenger.
Please find the litany of commissioning in the center pages of your program. And glance down across these two pages. These are familiar scriptures, particularly the first page weaves together a number of the verses that were selected by the senior class. And I'd like to have the graduates stand for the first page. Would graduates please stand and just notice where you are to read? The rest of us will remain seated until we come to the all at the bottom of the first page. I'll invite all of you to stand and then we together will recite this ancient confession of faith. Just please read with vigor and faith these words of scripture. Remember. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, testing you to know what was in your heart.
We shall remember.
Exactly. Remember how you hungered and thirsted, how the Lord fed you with manna and made water flow from flint rock.
We shall remember.
Take care that by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, we shall
not forget.
When you have eaten your fill, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God.
We shall remember.
Let's all stand together. And together, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. We shall remember. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked with favor on his people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior, Jesus, for us in the house of his servant David. He has shown the mercy promised and has remembered his holy covenant. You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Thanks be to God, we shall remember.
Thanks be to God, we shall remember.
Thank you. To the 2015 graduates of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, 7 sturdy words of blessing and 1 unimaginable benediction. One by one, in ways unique and altogether personal, God has called you into our midst for a time. Now our time together is at an end. It is time for you to move out from here and to follow the voice and the call of God into ministries for which God alone can empower you. As you go, I offer you a 7-fold blessing by God, a blessing in the sturdy words of Scripture, a blessing from our named and unnamed mentors in the faith of Jesus Christ, a blessing of wisdom. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe. A blessing of love. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. A blessing of strength and endurance. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. A blessing of enabling. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will. A blessing of joy, peace, and hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A blessing of comprehension. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. A blessing of wholeness and holiness. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And now receive this benediction. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.